Support for KJZZ's Science and Innovation Desk comes in part from Palo Verde Generating Station. Dedicated to producing clean air energy, Palo Verde is also an advocate of STEM education in Arizona.
The fight over climate change has been one of the more intense public policy debates we're seeing on the national and international stages. Though a great majority of the public believes in climate change's existence, many elected officials, including President Trump, have refused to agree with that assessment. That, in turn, over the years has limited federal action on combating it. And so a group of 21 young people from across the country filed a lawsuit, Juliana versus United States, claiming they have the constitutional right to be protected from climate change and alleging the government has not followed through on that. Joy Herr Cardillo, an associate professor at the U of A's College of Law, is with me to talk about the case. Professor, to any extent, is this kind of suit unprecedented, at least as far as the way in which it's been presented?
It's definitely out of the ordinary, and it's a significant case and certainly an uphill battle. But historically, there have been similar cases in the past. In the oral argument on this case, the plaintiff's counsel frequently referred to Brown versus Board of Education. That's kind of a classic example of one of those seminal cases that really upended the law. So it's sort of on that scale. I mean, it's definitely not a typical run-of-the-mill case, but the judiciary has in the past played a major role on major issues.
If it were to proceed, is that something that one would think would take a number of cases, a long foundation to get there, because it would be so impactful if it were to go forward?
Something like this really, it reminds me of some of the types of cases that I litigated when I was a public interest lawyer, in that winning on the merits might not take all that much time, but where the challenge comes into play is in the implementation. Again, going back to Brown versus Board of Education, you get the substantive case, you know, definitive articulation of the rights, and then it takes multiple lawsuits, multiple court orders to actually implement the ruling of the court.
Let's get into what the plaintiffs would like to see occur. What changes would they like to see occur? Did the approach make sense? Was it possibility of overshooting, or does it seem to make sense, the approach they took?
That's really actually the great challenge of the case, because they are asking for very broad relief. And one of the questions that the Judge Hurwitz kept coming back to was, you know, say I want to rule in your favor, what does the order look like? What are you asking this court to do? And that's always dicey in cases like this, because essentially, what you're asking is one branch of the government to direct other branches of the government to take action. Courts, by their nature, are really cautious. So they don't like to be accused of micromanaging either the legislative process or the executive branch. So that's, I think, one of the great challenges of this case. But what the plaintiffs articulated in the argument is, we've got a situation where not only is the government not really addressing the problem of climate change in a meaningful way, but they are pursuing and implementing policies with respect to fossil fuels that's making the situation much worse. They basically invoked this state harm exception to argue that the government had a duty to stop hurting future generations by promoting the use of fossil fuels. So that was kind of the maybe most specific relief that they requested. They were challenging the structural scheme of the government's energy and environmental policy. So it's a heavy lift.
So the argument is not that government passively allowed this to happen, but actually sort of actively took part by not. It's almost like there's an active and a passive argument there, where they should have done something to stop it, and in lieu of stopping it, they actually passed legislation that made it worse?
They really did want to focus on, and I think part of this, I have never communicated with the plaintiff's counsel, so this is pure speculation on my part, but One of the concerns is, you know, can you compel the government to act? Does the government have an affirmative duty towards these plaintiffs? And that's always kind of hard to find it in the Constitution, in maybe a common law doctrine like the public trust doctrine. I've personally made those arguments in the past in other contexts, but it's a challenge. So one way for them to kind of strengthen their position was to focus about the state-created danger that the actual energy policies and implementation of regulations that had favored the development of fossil fuels, that had allowed mining of fossil fuels or drilling for fossil fuels on public lands, how all of that contributed to global warming. So it's not like the federal government here is just a passive actor standing on the sidelines, not stepping in to protect the future generations. Rather, they're making the situation worse.
Is any of this about changing the argument in our communities, as opposed to just making the legal change? Is it important to sort of highlight this again in this sort of more unique way?
I think certainly the publicity that this lawsuit gets for the issue probably it helps. Yeah. I mean, you always run the risk of, you know, does it help? Does it hurt? How are people going to react to it? But just making people aware of the issue, and I think in this case, too, the having the plaintiffs be the younger generation, be young people who are really the most vulnerable on this issue and are most impacted, it makes good strategic sense.
Joy Hur-Cardillo is an associate professor at the U of A College of Law.